start by just doing my Q&A. I know the last several weeks we've been talking about team building, and Stella's been talking with you guys about getting a strategy for going to your service. We've got a big old meeting about that coming up next Monday. But I thought where I would start today, and then we'll just kind of see where it goes, is just do some Q&A, like maybe questions that you have about building your team. Or 2 weeks ago, we talked about greater authority and empowerment for decision making. And I thought I would just do some Q&A. So, we'll start there and see where we go.
So in regards to anything?
In regards to anything, team building, anything in regards to making decisions on your team. Maybe there's somebody that you're having a hard time. Maybe you've delegated something to them and they're not following through. Or maybe you're having a hard time with the figuring out what to delegate to your team, or maybe your team meetings aren't as hot as you'd like them to be, or any.
Audra's team was bacon.
I just hear Stella and I were do our best to answer questions. This is what I do know. I know that we're going into three services, and you guys have been given a task to build your team. And I know that's a stretch for everybody, because you said that it's a stretch. So I'm sure that there are questions. If we dig deep enough, we'll find them.
Yes, I have questions.
Okay.
I feel like it's really hard to recruit people on my team. I don't know how.
Okay. So, like, is there recruit people for your team? Or...
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, because we don't really... I mean, it's like there's a lot of people just going on. They're serving in multiple capacities. Mm-hmm. And
are you talking about youth?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, like, on youth, they're also serving, like, in kids, or they're also serving in... Is that what you're talking about?
No, I mean, like, in that serving... Like on Wednesday.
Oh, it's like Connect.
Like have one person go to Connect because that person has to go run a soundboard. And then there's another person that's having to do another thing. Mm-hmm. And then I have to switch around small groups at the end.
Okay. I don't want to call that
work, right?
Delegation?
I don't even know what to call that.
So it's like she needs more people. I feel like that's always the solution for this.
People involved.
Things.
What's your
local role?
What's been your What's your?
I have the same.
So what's your solution been so far?
My solution has been to stop people in the coffee shop on Sunday to see who talks with youth students the most, and then try and get them to come on Wednesday.
Okay. Hey, he got to do.
I'm a magician.
Like, what kind of success are you getting out of that?
Little to none.
Okay.
But it's also very early stages of that.
Okay.
I have an idea for that, but I'm going to share on Tuesday.
You're going to share on Tuesday?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I'm not allowed there.
So they said these people are talking to you, they've been through all in already?
Yeah.
So have you, like if you were to count, how many tables do you have and how many people do you have?
That's it. I'm going to count right now.
Finet, snack bar, sound, worship. Are we trying to count worship or no? No.
Probably.
Worship projection.
MC.
MC.
Snapper.
I count it.
Was that it?
Security, but that's not really. So we should
respond. I guess I can read.
Okay, so you got seven. And this is for everybody. Like, I think y'all should kind of lean into this because I think even just talking about it, I think we'll come up with some good ideas, and you might find yourself in this area, or you might come up with a creative solution for this as well. So, okay, so you've got 7 positions, right?
Yes. Got MC.
Yeah, you're going.
Oh, child care.
Oh, 8. Okay. What?
Oh, and then there's 8 small groups.
So the okay, so that's, but that's not separate.
Well, if you're doing child care, you can't obviously be a small group.
Right, but I think it's
8 or 9.
You need 9 because of that child care for some guard.
Well, unless you do have to do 8 small groups every week.
Okay.
I want you to
say 9.
How do you do that?
I'm making
okay, 9. All right.
How many people do you have under him?
I have leveled up.
So now it's an interesting 9 there.
Yeah, what is that? That's 9. It looks like a snail.
It's a cinnamon.
They have the 9, the thing goes down a little bit.
Is that 9?
That is not 9. It's more like a 0.
It's more of a like an ass sizzle.
That's a 9. Oh, guys.
There's English language.
There, see, that's way
better.
Twelve actors. How many S every? So you're not getting all 12 of them every week.
No, I mean you get.
I mean, for the most part, I get 12. I'm talking about like active. Like I have 2 people in here who are on a break.
Oh, okay. So 10.
No, I have no.
She has 12.
She has 14, but 12 for you.
Oh, okay.
Count it. 2 or 10.
Okay.
Gotcha. Okay, so you should have enough for nobody to have to do double duty, but they are having to do double duty.
Yes.
So is it because they're not capable of filling a role that needs to be filled?
Yes.
They're not trained?
Yes.
Okay. So, what roles are not trained for?
Snack bar.
Okay. Snack bar, you need to train somebody for that.
Connect is being trained.
Mm-hmm.
So they're like...
They're walking and rolling. They pretty much know what to do.
Now, I noticed you doubled up on MC last week.
Yes.
So is that one that needs to be trained for as well?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, by the way, I printed an MC thing we made up, but you weren't there, so I'll have to print it for you.
I would say probably projection, because Pauline's been...
Yes.
So that...
And audio.
Okay. So that falls under Clayton to train there, but still...
And then... And just... They do small groups, but... I think there's some people who are like, I don't know. They do it because they have to do it, not because it's like.
So like with these 12, and I think that we probably all in this room probably agree, but if they're in this 12, they should be a rock star. Like that should be their primary.
Mm-hmm.
Like all of these, like, yeah, they may step in the fill, but this is why they're in the administrative director.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have, this is what I would say, if you have any of these 12 who don't want to do this, I would say let them go serve somewhere else. Because youth ministry clearly is not their thing.
Can I rephrase?
Yes.
It's not that they don't want to do it. It's just that I think it's so they never have done it.
Uh-huh.
And they're finding it sometimes discouraging because they don't think it's going well.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Okay. Got it.
So
just growing.
So what I would say then, and anybody feel free to pitch in, but what I would say is your solution is not more people.
Because what you're going to do is you'll just add in more people who don't know how to do all these things. So your solution is to train and get these positions working really well. I absolutely love, I'll give a shout out to elementary. Preschool, elementary. Got a shout out to elementary. I walked in this week and they were doing like a whole like service run through type of thing. Like Jesse was up there practicing his script with a microphone, and I think you or somebody was back at audio, and
Audrey was like rocking the lights.
I was just like, and I've been noticing Natalie coming in during the week, like doing curriculum prep, and it just, I don't know, it just makes me so happy to see. So great job. This kind of stuff, I think, like we all could probably learn from like what Audrey's doing in elementary. Like the more we practice, the more excellent we get. I mean, that's what's happening in the worship as well. Like they're practicing on Thursdays, and so they're getting better. So I would say with you, Kate, Gary, I would say write up like what you want, like in each one of these positions. These are probably
GRE.
These are probably already written because you probably wrote them when you were in tech. But like, Stella wrote one up for MC.
I think SnapMark is written because Juan did a bunch of job descriptions.
So I would say grab those job descriptions and just start pulling people in during the week and start training. But this is what I want to, that's plan A. That's base camp. But what I would say, what we should be doing, and this goes for all of us, we should be training people on how not just to do it, but how to train others to do it. Mm-hmm. So like, one of the things that, I think sometimes what where we fall apart, and it's very natural, and we all have been or are in this thing, is we look at our organization like this, you see this and you think, oh, flowchart, like org chart, or, you know, whatever, hierarchy or whatever. Because we think, obviously, like, you know, I lead a team. That's what we say all the time. So, but where we have to go and where we have to become thrilled about, like, this has to become something that you love to do. Like, if you can't learn to love this, you'll just not survive. You have to love being a leader of leaders. So what that means is it looks like this. So, this is, these are like your, I would say these are like your team leads, these are your coaches, and this is you as a pastor. So, so if you train people, right, like I'm going to train, you know, I'm going to train somebody on how to run projection. I'm actually train somebody on how to run audio. I'm going to train. Okay. We'll just start there for just a second. Like, so what we've done is we've trained people how to do a task. And then something happens. They go to college, or, you know, they say, man, I just really love, you know, like working in kids. So I'm going to move over there, or, whatever, for whatever reason they move on. Right now you've got a dead spot, and guess what that does? It pulls you out of the creative development, out of the working on your team, and it puts you back into working in your team. Because you have to go find somebody, and this is where you're at, and you're in a unique situation because you're leading a team out of a real challenging situation. And so, it, you know, it pulls you, you're not, now you've got to go find somebody, and now you've got to train them, right? So instead of a good team, I'd work in your team. If you'll train people how to do, but not just how to train how to do, then you can actually remain as a leader, continually working on your organization, working with your top level people, pouring vision, pouring direction, pouring, inspiring, pastoring them, coaching them,
And that's what I'm doing with you guys, right? I'm always in here. I rarely ever sit down and talk like, okay, so next, you know, next Tuesday, I want you to be with her. I want you to show her. Now this fader does this, and I want you to show, like I don't do a lot of that, right? A lot of what I do is I'm just inspiring. Hey, go lead, go empire, go, you know, book the bill. So if you'll do the same thing, then that would be like what Stella said about a what's that keystone? What's that term that you use when, from one the week?
Oh, the leverage task.
That's a leverage task because that's going to make your life easier. So, anyways, coming back to your question, KK, I think training is what you need to do. I think you have all the people you need. Every person, like you can handle 50 people on their own, but each one of your leaders can handle around 10 to 12 on their own, right? So if you've got 12 times 12 is 144. So your current capacity is 144 students. So if you're seeing that, you know, around 60 or so, your team fall apart and like you start losing people, you're not keeping people. Like if you find you have a lid, then you know, okay, like somebody's, there's a group of people in here that or that's in the wrong place, right? Like I need to shuffle them around. Does that kind of make sense?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
This is more of just like a conceptual spiritual perspective, but every time I've found myself in this situation, and this is pretty common for just about any team, and I've been there many times with just like, wow, we don't have enough people. And God's always reminding me, I've already given you what you need. And you don't need more. You just need to be faithful to pour into these, because when you do, they will attract more people.
Yeah.
And they will have the 10 to 12 capacity increased. But it's always about making those people rock stars, because when you do, that new team will grow. But also, I don't ever let them do anything alone. Not just you, but them. It's like, you know, if you have someone in snack bar and they're just running it, no one's learning anything, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that's where he's talking, you know, like having always people in training.
Mm.
Training.
Yeah. I think that it's hard. When you say it, like, I think for a while I kept thinking, like, I was trying to train people on Sunday while we were doing service, and that's, like, the worst idea.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I started doing it before.
Yeah.
Because I can't do it.
Your focus is so different.
Yeah, I'm like, people are like, I don't know what I'm doing, and I'm like, try and help them, but then someone else, I'm like, this is not working. And I'm even thinking for free services, I'm like, we're not even going to be able to do the rehearsal I'm doing right now. There will not be time, so I'm going to have to, like, I don't think we'll always need to do this rehearsal as people get more skilled,
mm-hmm.
but I probably will have like another day, like once a month or something, like MCO training. How do we run through the service? How is this going to go? Because doing it during service is like, that's why I kept trying to do it. That was really bad.
I want to add one more thing. And just in regards to being aware that God will give you what you can handle. And if we're not grateful, we run into this really big pit hole. Like we become ungrateful because we don't have what we think we need, but then we also turn away the people that are on our team because we have an attitude of like, you're not important enough. Mm-hmm. I need more people, and you're not good enough, and you can't fulfill the function that I need. And so you're actually killing your team when you don't realize God's given me everything I need right now.
Yes. Yes.
So it's a trap of the enemy to basically decapitate ministry.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I planted a bunch of tomatoes last season, and I had like some tomatoes came up faster than others, you know? And like one tomato bush came up and it started looking like really good. And then like it kind of started, I got, I forget what they call it, but like bottom end rot. Like, what do they call it? Like fruit?
Yeah, they call it something. Yeah.
Root.
Yeah. Root rot. Yeah. Like at the bottom, you know?
But they went on the ground. It looked like they were sitting on the ground and like the ball yeah, became
just, like, like bad tomatoes and
too much water or something.
So yeah. I was to see like the other ones, see how they turn out, you know? And some of them like turned out okay. And then like some of them started having that again. And I'm like, oh. And what I realized, started doing some reading, what I realized is it wasn't the seed. Wasn't the plant. Like I
wasn't even
watering enough and I needed to pour a nutrient. So I went, you got some of this kind of nutrient stuff. I don't know. It's got like
stuff
vitamins like it's soil.
Be like,
because it needed calcium.
Oh,
wasn't enough calcium in the soil. Calcium is what helps develop that outer layer of skin.
Cool.
And so as I put that in there, started, you know, but it's kind of, I just thought it was interesting. Like my initial thought was like, oh, and just more plants, you know, they'll come up better. This is just a bad one, you know?
Yeah.
And it wasn't that at all. I needed to take care of it, take care of it, you know?
Yes.
So that's kind of what Stella's talking about. Like, you know, just pour into your teams and let's with your team. And I'd say we all need to do this. Like not just, you know, not just in youth, but I really think like in every department, like, you know, build turnkey solutions. Actually, if you're a reader, which you should be, let me see if I can find this real quick. Should be like Greg Meeker. It's in my top. You know what? I was reading it. I think I left it upstairs. It's a book called E-Myth. Audrey, if you find it, why don't you just shoot it in the office chat?
Okay, I'll look around what
it is. E-Myth.
Is it by Craig Rochelle?
Is it like Alexa?
No, E-M-Y-T-H. It is not a spiritual book. It's not a Christian book. It's a secular book. It's actually, this is actually where, it's blue and white.
The E-Myth, why most small businesses don't work.
Yep.
Okay.
Shoot that out of the office chat. It was years ago, like 2011. I was leading the production team and I was talking to Dr. Mark Rhodes, which some of you know, some of you don't, but I was talking to him about like trying to, you know, train people. And he said, you need to go read this book. And I read that book. And for the first time in my life, I actually realized my problem. And it was, he calls it the turnkey solution. And basically it's this idea that you build your department out to where there's nothing left for question. And so like, this is what Stella with MC, this is how to do MC. This is how to train an MC. This is what we're looking for. Okay. MC is completely built out. Nothing left for question. Now we can take this and we can train people with this one document, you know, with a series of documents. We can train people on how to be an MC, but we can also train people how to train people. Mm. And then what happens is you do that throughout your department. Everything is, every time a position comes up, you're like, I've got everything you need for that. It's like your little cubbies, right? Like you've got everything in that cubby. Your worker knows
they're gone
on Sunday morning.
Oh,
they're
gone.
Well, they're gone.
It's still the same contract.
You're
not
gone
yet, but
I go to the cubby.
You can do it,
I get it out. It's all there.
Yes.
What frustrates people, right, is when they go to the cubby and there's a little bit there, but then some of it got stuffed under a desk somewhere, and then there's another part of it that, like, some kid stuffed it in the toy box and you got to go through and try to find that. And then someone dropped the other part off. They were getting a cup of coffee from the coffee shop and they left part of it over there. And so they're like, I really want to work in your department, but I'm just continuous. Yeah. Like, what do you want me to do?
Yeah.
And so if we build these turnkey solutions, and this book will really talks a lot about it. It's really good. But anyways, long answer to it. Was that helpful?
Yes. If you guys are wondering, if you have Kindle Unlimited, it's on there. Sorry.
For free? Oh, yes, it's free.
Not, free.
But you pay for Kindle.
I do. I pay for Kindle.
Oh, there you go.
How much do you pay? Well, guess what? They do this like all the time. I get it for like $3.99 for like 3 months.
Oh, nice.
They give you that deal, like, really? If you unsubscribe for now.
Should do this.
Nice.
So you have to do, if you don't have it, do it, you know,
yeah.
$3.99 probably.
Yeah, every time I go to MIP, I'm always like, takes you
read this book. Yeah, he's always bringing books.
I think I pissed that one a few times at MIP. Actually.
If it's not like, an eat that frog.
Eat that frog. Is actually easy to read. Yes. You guys, I read still. I don't read like those things.
Can easily read it too.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm reading like.
I would say finish the advantage before you move on.
Okay. Oh, yes. Let's take another question. Hopefully, this was helpful.
Yeah.
Okay. I think as you.
Or I mean,
good answer.
Leave the questions and up the voice stuff question.
Can I hear this part?
Yeah.
Okay.
Other question. I was doing very such a question.
Yeah.
I really need team leads.
Okay.
I need people that are experienced leaders.
Okay.
And that right now, because we're going to three services. I have two team leads. I am filling the other two team lead positions, and I'm like, I cannot do four.
Yeah.
So I like, here's the, you know, and I'm sure Stella and I can talk about this more, but I'm like, I'm not sure what to do because the people that are more experienced in leadership stuff are on other teams. And in my team right now in the pool I have, I do not see
the quality.
The people that there's been some people that I've had that have actually, they are like not really on my team. They don't, I'm like, I don't know. Maybe I need to pitch this to them, but because I really think like, oh, they would be great leaders. They're not serving other places, but they won't take the next step. Like they're too stressed. It like stresses them out. So I'm like, I don't want to push them, but I need those people. Like, I don't know what to do. Cause the rest of the people on my team are like, no, they're not. They're just, it just wouldn't be a good fit. Mm-hmm. Even though they're committed, even though they show up, like it just doesn't always mean that that's like we're, like weeding a team would be a good idea.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So what would be like your ideal solution?
My ideal solution? Mm-hmm. I don't know what's why I'm asking you.
Okay. So yeah, absolutely no idea. You haven't thought of anything at all.
Well, I have people in mind. I'm like, I got two couples in mind. One of them does serve on the Connect team. So I don't want to like take them off.
Who was it? Define.
Who was it?
It's Maddie and Roel.
Okay.
I just don't know if she wants to help it because they did for a while and then they're like, oh, I take a break. And
I think, you know, I think with them.
And then the other one is Andre and Sydney.
Yeah, okay. I knew. It was like I could read your mind.
Literally, you guys, I pulled them in the other week and they did so good. Yeah.
So where are they serving at?
They're just doing a life group. Which I might just say, just I know that they're busy in their life, but I also think like they just, I know they could do it. I just see Sydney worry so much about everything. Like, yeah, she's so stressed about everything. And I'm like, girl, you can do it. Like, you just, I don't know. Maybe I need to pray and ask God to like help me show it. Like, maybe I can say something that will like help it click in her brain. I don't know. I feel like I'm like, I don't want to force it on them though. Like,
yeah. So here's a couple thoughts for you. One, and I know you raised your hand, so.
Oh, go ahead, fine.
I would have like a really honest, I wouldn't approach Maddie and Raul without talking to Pastor Randy first.
Oh, okay.
Why?
Just because I think it would be proper.
They wouldn't come off of the team.
Well, I would think that if
they're only start one lane. One.
Oh, the links. Well,
yeah.
Well, in case I have to serve more.
Yeah,
of course. Yeah. So
I would think if you're going to be a team lead, that should be your only place that you're serving.
Yes,
that would be. I mean, that's what I would do, I guess. But I mean, just because you and you know, if you want to do that, I think that we would definitely help you. All right, maybe. Yeah, I don't know. Anyways, I would talk with them first. But I would definitely like. I mean, that's a very big team, and I know like he needs people as well. But it's a big team.
They have a lot.
They have a lot of people. Yeah.
Well, I think they.
It's the first place I've ever used long.
Yeah. Because I know they really enjoy, I think they enjoy doing the Connect team.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's low key. And this is
your service.
Yeah.
But you have a job description for your, like, you have that all built out.
Yeah.
Like,
I probably could revisit. Well, I'm going to, because I'm going to be giving it all to you again this week. So I'm going to be.
Here's Mark Estes, the former lead pastor at Manaos.
So that is something that's changed since she was on in the job description.
Right.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's in your favor.
That it is.
He really, I'm going to make this kind of simple. There we go. Mark asked us when we were in a similar spot with the house church, did a phone call with him. He really helped a lot. And this is what he says. He says, I want you to draw your whole organization the way that you dream it of being, like 5-10 years, like down the road, like think big. This is where Darcy's at right now. Like think big, go wonder, like, you know, go like,
I'm excited, big ears.
Go dream. Which is like totally at my wheelhouse, right? Like I could do that. But then he was like, then he got in Stellasville House and he was like, I want you to fill in like every spot. Like, you know, KK used to have this big flow chart on her whiteboard. It was something that
it was inspiring. I think there's still something still there.
And it was like, I mean, we broke up like church online with like, you know, this is the chat host, chat coach, chat team lead, chat team member. You know, I mean, it was like real nitty gritty.
Mm-hmm.
And was, I got that from Mark Estes and he said, draw it all out. And then he start populating names. Like, you know what? I think this person would work really well here. I think this person, and also he said, you know, write job descriptions, write like expectations for all of these positions. He's like, build your organization all the way down and then start populating names. You know, like, you know what? I think, you know, Aaron, go here and you met Darcy, go here and Kid K here and, you know, Andre here and then Andre and Sydney and Maddie and Raul. And he said, and then he said, put that up somewhere and pray over it every day. And he said, just start praying for these people as if they were already in those positions. He said, because what'll happen, he says, when you see them throughout the week around Sunday, he says, you'll start relating to
them
on that level. And you'll actually, he's like, it's almost like it's a little bit prophetic. And he starts, and if it's the Lord's will, he says, it'll resound and they'll come. He's like, you know, you might still have to do the ask, but the Lord will start doing the work. And so I would say do that. Just dream it out, pray over it. But also with these guys, like, I would just make the ask. But consider, and I don't know, maybe you're already doing this, but consider making the ask with a relationship. Let's do this, but let's not just do this, but let's do it together, you know, like, hey, let's get a cut, like, you know, maybe they're going to do curriculum prep. I don't know what all goes. I'm just going to play with that because I don't really know what goes into your job, but we'll do curriculum prep, but let's do curriculum prep and let's go get coffee afterwards. Or like, hey, let's do curriculum prep and let's do it at my house and I'll make breakfast. Or, you know what I mean? Like, I'm just coming up with creative ideas. But because sometimes I think what stresses people out is it's just it's more work.
Yes.
It's more pour out with not any more pour in.
Yeah.
And so.
It's true.
So you're asking me to serve harder, but you're not pastoring me anymore in the process. Mm-hmm. And so I think.
Which they have tried to join my life group so many times and they can't.
Well, there you go.
What is that?
Maddie and Raul, because we're doing young adults.
Oh.
They keep trying to join.
Bummer.
I'm like.
Okay. If you guys do that though, if you guys do this.
Later.
You know, I want to build more relationship though.
I would tell you, if you guys do this, if you make yourself an org chart, fill it out and dream over it, and you got names in there, take a screenshot of it and send them to me, because I pray for your teams all the time. I don't always know who I'm praying for. But if you've got somebody that you're like, man, I really want to pray them into my team, like, I would love.
All right, I'm going to send those screens down. And
okay.
I had one thing to add. Okay. Yeah, that was really good.
We just got to whoever the Lord leads them to first. I'm just kidding.
Whoever the one leaves the two first.
Wait a second. Hey, come over for breakfast.
Hey, guys.
I have one thing I want to add to all that. I think that was really good. When you speak to a leader, and I know you know, you guys know this, yes. There's a difference. Like, if, for example, if you take and you speak to the superintendent of schools and you speak to the person in the coffee shop, there's a difference of how you talk. I mean, you guys agree, right? Like, I know for a fact that there's a difference, because you're talking to a leader versus not a leader. And one thing that leaders want to know is, what's the value that they're going to get out of it?
Mm-hmm.
And that's a lot of people as well, but especially leaders, they want to know how they can benefit, not just serve you, but how can they can benefit to the greater good, because that's what a leader wants to do.
Yes.
So if you come out at them with, I just need help.
Yeah.
They're going to say no.
Mm-hmm.
But if you come out with, I need you to train my team leads for the next 6 months because you are so good.
Mm-hmm.
And you did an amazing job the last time you served in here when you filled in. I saw so much potential and I really need that. Can you help me for the next six months? They may not stay permanently, but they may be the scaffolding you need to build the building up,
mm-hmm.
and then they leave,
mm-hmm.
and that's okay. Mm-hmm. But I would say give them a time commitment
and
give them what they're going to bring to the table that they specifically have that no one else can have. Because when you bring that, a leader goes, oh, I'm important. Oh, I can help. And that's actually, I can bring that to the table. And it pulls on their leadership drive, basically. Mm-hmm. It's what it does. So I would say think about that when you talk with them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. When I was just something else that I was thinking of, because I've been trying to do this, get more skilled at like what you're kind of like that.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was meeting with Christina from Orange last year that I was trying to figure out how to do everything. One of the things that she said, and I was just talking to Darcy about this, like, it made the biggest difference onboarding people was like, when you write the job descriptions, and we worked on this, mm-hmm. and when you're meeting with people, don't talk about all the details of what they will be doing.
Right.
Yeah. Talk about the like why, mm-hmm. the why behind it. Like, you're going to be the touch point for these as a small group leader. You're touching base with these kids every week. You're building that relationship, mm-hmm. where they actually know someone in this church and they begin to trust you. Like, you're a person that's going to be pouring into them. You're going to be the person that's like listening to the Holy Spirit. Like, when do I, you know, it's just like, it helps them like see the beyond the work.
Yes.
It's like, who wants to just think about the full work pieces, and I don't want people doing that either. I want them to like, yeah, that's the practical. But.
Yeah. Another piece to the puzzle is where do they see results of their labor? Mm. So like, if they're participating every Sunday for one service and then nothing for the whole week, and then they come back and do the same thing after a while, where do they see results? So like, make them a part of assimilation, make them a part of writing.
Yes.
Maybe my initial order was wrong. Maybe make them a part of writing birthday cards. I don't know, but make them a part of the fruit.
Yes.
Because when they see the
fruit, like, see
they are sucked in.
Yes.
So
that's good. No, it's true. Actually, that's just what my team, we've talked about feedback this. Like, they're like, we don't hear anything.
And I think that's big. And I feel like with worship team, what we've done, we've started these Thursday, and then it's exhausting, I can tell you. I'm like fried by Thursday night, but we do like, I ask every week, someone brings a devotion. It's not me, someone else. They bring devotion and we just throw it around the room, whatever people think or have, you know, insight on. And it builds the team, it creates relationships. Like I told Aaron, I haven't talked to Colleen this much ever. And I just always felt like she was kind of cold towards me, you know? Not necessarily like she didn't like me, but maybe she was just cold. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, in the last like month or two, it's been like, wow, like I really like Chloe.
So sweet.
Because like we get to know each other and we're growing together. Yeah. So like maybe it's not just them serving, but they need to also grow themselves. Mm-hmm. Maybe in your guys' team meetings or something, you guys do go to devotion or I don't know. I'm just throwing stuff out.
Yep.
But something that causes not just to serve, but they're growing themselves.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Good. Okay. Another question.
I have one.
Yep.
I think what I'm struggling with is like I want to build people that are as I guess determined and passionate about correction as I am, but I feel scared to push someone to that level because I'm there every week, you know, and I guess I don't know how much to ask from somebody. You know, when I feel like I'm asking too much from a person, I guess that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. KK.
Yes.
What do you think?
What do I think?
The llama's cool.
If I gave an example,
yeah,
like with Mike, for example, I want to take him to the next level up where he's taking more responsibility, but I don't know how much responsibility to give him, you know, like to the point where like, I still want him to feel like he comes to church and he can still receive.
Yeah.
That he's not always there. But I don't know. At the same time, I kind of also feel like he wants to always be there.
Yeah.
So, like, yeah. I don't know how to.
I know we've talked about this a lot. That's why I'm throwing this your way. What do you think?
I think that if people want to serve and they have the desire to serve, it's not necessarily an asking sense if, like, they're working. But. It's an opportunity for them to be able to serve, and we would be kind of robbing them of that. Like, they don't see it as work. They don't see it as a chore. They don't see it as, oh, I have to be at the church. They see it as I get to be at the church. And so just it was with someone like Mike, like he's someone that on like I don't know. I think he talked to him more, but I think he's someone that wants to go into ministry and he just has a heart for the house. And so just giving him the opportunity. And there's even people that in the team that just don't really talk about it much, but they're willing to do more than what you'll expect. And they'll tell you when it's too much, but for the most part, they want it.
Like Evander. Is it Evander?
Xander.
Xander. He's always there. Like, Cherry's
willing to come in on days before to take care of your slides. She's have to tell
him. Yeah, I was telling him that because she's already been doing it. So
yeah.
So I think that I think there's a principle that I think there's a principle at play, and it's a little bit. I'll try to tackle it from two ends. I think the first.
Can you write the question then?
Yes.
How do I know how far to take someone?
How hard to push them?
How hard to push?
And you know, when they start crying, then it's like that's clearly too far.
Here's a good short answer.
Okay, let's.
Bro, these questions.
Back up a little bit. Three notches back.
I think what?
Just thinking from experience, I'm just kidding.
How dare you?
Actually, sometimes crying is still like, it's still crazy.
It is. Yeah. It can be. I think what we're all afraid of is burning people out.
Yes.
That is your Bob
I'm sorry.
So I think I talked about this last week. What is burnout? Where does burnout come from?
Not enough in and too much out.
That's literally what burnout is. Like the other day, I flipped a breaker in my garage, and I had, you know, there's a I think we all know this, but power is
sorry. I like totally croaked. Oh, you hit the phone. I was like.
saw Audrey's side eye. I know, you're crazy.
I'll put this. Here we go.
No pink.
Drawn. That's a beat that worked.
Power's drawn, not delivered. That's an electrical fact, law, whatever you want. So,
a finger in the socket?
Power is drawn, not delivered, which means the reason I flipped the breaker is because when I was trying to charge my car on the trickle charger, my trickle charger pulled, asked for more power than what the circuit breaker could deliver, right? So it's a 20-amp circuit, so maybe it was asking for 30, 70, even knows what. But it asked for more power than what could be delivered, so I tricked a breaker. And that's how people burn out, is when you ask them and they try to serve with more time, energy, and excellence than what's being poured into them. And that's when they burn out. Does that make sense? Do you guys get the analogy here?
Yeah.
So if, going back to Clayton's questions, if you want people to serve more, then you need to pastor more. And this is why it is so vitally important. I tell you guys this all the time. Work on your team, not in it. And I'm not saying never serve. That's not what I'm saying. But it, always be willing to do whatever it needs to be done. Okay?
Yes.
I mean, the other day I went and, you know, plunged the toilet, you know, or whatever, you know, like, I don't care. It's fine. You know, just do stuff. You know, that's okay. But it's not wrong for you to serve. But if you're serving so much that you can't pastor the people that are serving with you, then you're working in your ministry and not on it. If you will work on your ministry, then you can pour. Your volunteers should be like overflowing with prayer, anointing, resource, encouragement, gratitude, all of those things. So here we go. If you pour in more power, then they can deliver more. I was just telling Stella the other day, I was on the phone, like it was a few years ago, with somebody from Hillsong. And they said like their LA campus, which is like pretty huge, like nearly all volunteers. And Rose Church, when we were building Rose Church, they were 5 years in when they got the old church that they're in now. And we were doing all their production stuff and all this stuff. But they were 500 people and they had 2 staff members. And guys, we're 500 people and we have 9 staff members. Like, how do you do that? Like, loads and loads and loads of people giving their time. Now, I'm not saying, you know, we should fire everybody up to stocking, because that, honestly, that would be good. But what I'm saying is that
we'd be gone.
What I'm saying is this, like, your teams can give more. Your teams can do more. The key is if you're going to ask, you better deliver. If you're going to ask them to do more, you better be ready to pour in more. More prayer, more anointing, more coffee times, more encouragement, more gratitude, more thank you cards. Like, just pour into them. So they can do it. And especially guys like Mike, like, they're hungry. Like, they want to do it. Like, he's always like, what can I do? But that'll burn out too.
Yeah.
Over time, like, that'll burn out if you don't pour in. So the key is core. Now, I think I think what happens in a church over time, when you expect little, then you build a culture of little.
Right.
And so, like, if you don't ever expect anybody to do anything, you just always do it. What's going to happen in about 5 years is when you do start asking people to do it, they're going to croak at you. Okay. Like, they're going to be like, what? Why? That's your job. You know, it's like, well, actually, and so I think what maybe we're growing past is just a lot of years where, you know, people We didn't have this many volunteers like years ago. Okay, we didn't have this many people either. But what happens sometimes is you have to push past an expectation level of like, well, that's, you know, the church. The staff are supposed to do that, you know, or the pastor is supposed to do that. Okay, we got to push past that. So take people like Mike, call them to a higher level, pastor them well, give them tons of gratitude, pour into them, invest into them, right? Help them grow their skill, help them grow, you know, what they know how to do. And then what will happen is you'll find more people will be like, I want to be like Mike. And so then you grab that one. Maybe it's 1 out of 5. Maybe it's 1 out of 10. Grab that one, pour into them, pass them, like love on them, and pass to the rest too. But build these people. Pretty soon, you'll have a healthy team of like 4 or 5 people who are just like fully like we are tech junkies, man. Like we love this stuff, you know, or we're kids ministry junkies. We're
kids. Yeah, we eat tables for breakfast. You know,
like we love this stuff. And you'll always have those, you know, you'll always have a larger body of people who just, you know, they just want to come in, you know, 20 minutes, 30 minutes before service and do their thing and leave. You'll always have a ton of those. But you got to pour into the mics. You got to pour into the.
Yes.
Anna's.
Yeah.
Yes.
And Natalie.
Mason.
Yeah.
I was going to say one thing I think is reassuring. I feel like my team, I don't have as many people burning out because if they're like, I'm getting tired and I'm like, you need to take a break for 3 months.
Yeah.
Then they're like, oh, she actually cares about me.
Mm-hmm.
Or if people tell me, like, I don't get mad at them, you know?
Yeah.
I think, I don't know. I don't push. There are people, like you're saying, there's small plate people and big plate people.
Yeah.
And I realize who those people are. Like, my small group leaders are going to be small plate. They can either serve at it every other week or once a month. And then the team leads up. Yeah. Those are the people I'm focusing on. But I think if people know, like, hey, it's not going to fall apart if you're not here, that it helps. Because that's what I find when I first came out, a lot of people were really stressed because they felt like they could never stop. Yeah. And I was like, no, you can. Like, this is not like a you're stuck here.
And the truth is that really the backbone of your ministry is the small plate people.
It is. Yeah.
We need the big plate people
because
they help tremendously push us past, you know, because they vision, they dream, they eat it up, they fix things when they're broken, things like that. And they can, you know, they can come in on a weekend and give tons of time, but really, most of those people, they don't want to do all those onesie twosie things because their focus is like, man, I'm going to build this department.
Okay.
And they're not thinking necessarily like down on the ground all the time. Not that they won't do it because they have great hearts and they just love to serve. They will, but they want to do bigger projects. And so really, I mean, it's built on the backs of these small plate people. So we just have to like pour into both, you know?
I think that the communication piece of asking someone to do more is very important. I think that if you just expect it, you may get disappointed because they weren't aware of what you were expecting.
Yeah.
But if you, like, say that's you've true. Been praying and you see this person's really shining in what they're doing, and you're like, man, I'm praying. And I what I do is I draw up of what I see them doing. I really draw it up on a piece of paper. And then I pray about it and I kind of chew on it and I let it sit there for a few weeks. And if it's still strong and I still feel that, I will actually take that person out and say, hey, look, I've been praying for you. I really see these things in your ministry and growth and involvement on this team. Does this sound like something that resonates with what you feel? And so, and I let them talk for a while. And usually it's a go-go kind of win-win situation. But, you know, sometimes they're not quite ready, or else I have a couple of times where they were really shocked because they didn't see it in themselves.
Yeah.
And but that also helps pull them out.
Yes.
Up higher from where they are. And sometimes it's a seed, you know. And so maybe 6 to 12 months down the road, they're like, you know, that word you had for me or that conversation we had, I'm really feeling low, blah. And so it's either a seed or they'll be like, yeah, that resonates with me. And so like I say, well, what would you think about coming in and trying it out for a few months, like maybe 3 to 6 months, and see how it goes. And so basically, I never make them feel like you're saying they're not stuck. There's a time limit, but also if they do enjoy what happens, you know, that higher level of serving, they end up, you know, we still keep talking, and it ends up being like, okay, I'm ready. I want to do this long term, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. So I think expecting something from a person without communicating is like 80% failure, you know, because you're I don't know what's in your mind.
Yeah. In that book, you know,
communication.
Yeah.
Again, read the book. It'll speak to that a lot. So like, here's a good question. That's really good still. And it kind of leads me to like this question. If you had a Mike or an Anna or like a Matt, like he, what?
Oh, you're looking at me.
Carter.
I was thinking, Carter. Sorry, I was thinking, okay, Carter.
Actually, Matt.
Send all of my teeth.
That's Matt.
All of our cheese.
Yes. Just on your team. Natalie. If you have those people.
I feel like Grace, but.
I don't know if it's on your team that pours out a lot, but that's good. If you have those people, like, what are you looking for in them? Mm-hmm. Right? So, so like, we're saying, hey, like, I want this person, like, I want to ask them to do more. I want to ask them to, what are you looking for in that person? Mm-hmm. Character quality, work ethic. Like, look, what are you looking for?
Passion.
Okay.
Yes.
Positive attitude.
I look for culture match.
That's what it is. Okay. Culture match.
Sure, but like, let's define culture match, because I mean, I know that's a very broad term. Right?
Okay. Like, taking first, grasp of vision.
People first, open to change, having fun.
Yes. Well, they might not have it at the time, but like, helping them development, I guess, that can happen too.
I'd say dedication too. Is my
only people.
Like, are they there? Are they, you know, willing to give ideas? Are they,
you know, we don't have fun. What bother? We've been talking about the vulnerability.
Yeah. That's huge.
There has to be trust. Yeah, which stays high, which is why I have relationships with people. But yeah, that's important to keep going, to keep growing and asking.
So character.
So these are good, right? This is really good. Here's something that will really help you a lot. And you probably already know this, but I'm just going to preach the choir for a little bit. Work with people who... Or promote people, not necessarily getting them a title, but raising them up, people who are already doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So, like we're, you know, looking for, you know, someone right now for, like, coffee. And you know, some of what we're looking for is people who are already tithing, right? Because you can't take a leadership position if you're not tithing. Mm-hmm. Last thing I'm going to do is say, hey, if you'll take this, you know, if you'll start tithing, like, I'll give you this leadership position. Guess what's going to happen? They're going to do it for 90 days and then they're going to stop tithing as soon as they get that leadership position, right? Like, because it's not already a conviction, right? We lead with conviction. So if I'm not tithing, it must not be a conviction. So people who already have a passion. People who are already, if they're not already positive, when you give them more work and they get more positive, they're going to get less positive. And a culture match. And the thing is too, like with the positivity thing, like your job that you offer them might make them happy. But guess what happens with happiness?
It turns.
You know, if we go buy a new power tool, we'd love it. And then, and then we got to actually do the work. And then, because we bought the tool, and then now we're not happy anymore. It's like, we ought to have the tool, but we don't want to have the responsibility. And that's what they want, too. Like, a lot of people, they want the title. They don't want the responsibility of the title. So they might be happy that you gave them a title, but they're going to be less happy when they have to show up early on Sunday or on Wednesday. Okay, so culture match. like Tuesday, whenever it is.
No, I was just kidding.
These days, I got to mention all days of the weeks. So Sunday, tennis, football. Okay. Culture match. Yeah, I mean, it's not, you're not gonna become a cultural fit just because you took a position. You're gonna get the position because you're already a cultural fit. Now, it doesn't mean like, yeah, they can't grow in those areas, but like if they just don't like people, they're not gonna like people when you give them a position, right? Dedication, vulnerability, like all these things. So you know what we're really looking for out of all of this is we're looking for people who love people.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And I think they can kind of boil all of this down. Like, if you really love people, then you'll pretty much check all of these boxes. Now, is it possible that you really love people and you're just, you know, don't value excellence? Yeah, probably that might be there. Or you really love people, but whatever. Okay, that's understandable. But the truth is that what I'm trying to get at is we're not looking like for mics. Like, hey, I want you to serve more, but all I want you to do is the tasks that I give you. If we're going to take people to that level, let's take people to that level in leadership. So I'm going to take Mike. I'm just going to use him as an illustration. I'm going to say, hey, Mike, I want you to take a higher level of responsibility on this team. But what that means is I'm going to put some people under you for you to train. And in my next team meeting, I want you to talk a little bit just about like what you're doing in your area and how you're growing it and how you're making it more of a win on Sunday. And I want you maybe to core some vision, because clearly you have some into the team. Why? Because I'm taking them on a journey, and I don't want to build people who just do tasks. I want to build people who build teams. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm doing, and that's what I want you to do. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
That kind of help. So you know, ask like, yeah, like how do I know how far I push them? But if you push them in the direction of leading people,
yes.
If they're really a good fit, like you're winning all day, right, buddy? So I think pushing them in the right direction is very key. Okay, we got. Is this helpful to anybody?
Yes.
We have no time.
We have no time.
So good.
Not 10, one more. 12. Not one more.
Well, a quick one, I guess.
A 9-minute.
One more question. Drex, any questions?
How high are we able to
push? What?
Just kidding. You know, I just started doing it.
Okay, here we can say that.
I said, how do I lead a salvation prayer?
Oh. I'll send you my typed up one. Yeah.
There we see him.
Yes. So, how do you develop more of a connection between, like, your team lead, or, you know what I mean? Like, how, when you feel like there's a block, or you feel that there's uncomfortableness or awkwardness, or that they're just not, I don't know how to explain it.
It's not fit.
I feel like I understand. Just like, just feel like they're angry at
yes.
you, and you don't know why. You're trying to ask about it, they're like, I'd vibe. Or it's like,
you can tell, like, you have this feeling, like, when you try to talk to them, they're like, oh,
like something,
yeah.
Give them a 30%
answer. Yeah, with their words, they're communicating, I'm okay, but with their facial reaction, they're like, I can do the rest of that work.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, can you?
Audrey, what did you say?
Oh, I don't have experience with this, but actually, one time I was kind of mad at Stella, she was like, I'm just sensing. I actually was like, I can use this. That was so good.
Oh my God.
But you did it. You were like, you just like, we're like, hey, let's talk. You're like, I'm just sensing. Like, that maybe there's something going on. Like, maybe, I can't remember exactly what you said, but it felt like you said, like, the sensing thing, like, just was like, okay, yeah, she knows. Like, I'm not okay.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I'm trying to act like, obviously, I'm not very good at pretending. But, you know, like, yeah, yeah. Anyway, I thought that was really good.
That's scary,
though. But I thought that was really good when you did that with me. And I was like, I actually feel like that was a good way to open up the conversation.
So
obviously they might not.
It's not just one spot. It's like every time you kind of talk to them, you feel a sense of
life. I guess to you, it's the same thing every time.
Yeah, it's still there.
About it.
So still, when you did that, when did you do it on the job? Did you do it in a weekend? Did you
It would have been afterwards.
Me?
Yeah,
when after we did, it was at an MFI. So you literally just took me. We were like together, and you just pulled me aside, like right when it was happening.
Mm-hmm.
Which I've done. I guess I have done other people. Maybe it wasn't for like I sent something. Maybe it was just something I saw. I was like, let's talk right now.
I feel like there is a sensitivity to that. Like if you're about to go into ministry with this person, and it's going to hinder your team, I would till it right there. I'm like, I don't care if it's 2 minutes before I walk. I think I've done that with Drex, actually. I was like, right, maybe the first year you were hired. And I was like, I just chewed Drex out. And there was no reason for that. So I was like, Drake, you know, I don't know if you remember. Maybe you don't remember. But I was like, hey, it must have not been a 13. But I was like, I just literally can't go on stage and we'll lead worship. And I know that I chewed someone that's my brother in Christ. So like, if it's going to hinder the team, I would say nip it in the bud right there. If it's something that can wait, I definitely say pick after, because it may dampen the environment of your team and your ministry. So there's both scenarios.
I think definitely like, if it can, at all, if it's at all possible, like try to just say, hey, let's meet in the office, or like let's grab coffee. If you feel like it's going to be one of those things where it blows up a little bit, like maybe do it in the office, you know. Just because I was actually at Starbucks like a couple of years ago, and this lady was doing a staff meeting and she was ripping her team in noodles. And I was like, this is so awkward, you know.
But at the same time, when you meet at a coffee shop, it makes people feel not as
intimate.
I feel like they're in trouble.
If you're, if you had a sense,
come to the office,
that like, okay, this is going to get a little loud or like a little like blow up, like, you know, do it at the office. If it's like, hey, I think we can have a reasonable conversation and just talk this through, like, good, do it in a public place where it's like non-confrontational.
It sounds like they're saying that maybe they talk to the person though, and they don't want to. They're not saying anything. So
what do you think? Has it been like? Have you done it offsite, or is it just kind of?
I am. So the situation is where I don't feel that connection between me and this person, and so I feel like it's not necessarily that they're angry, or they could be angry, but I think it's either more of their personality or it's more of they're a very guarded person.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty good about pushing boundaries and pushing people, like kind of pushing them out of their, you know, comfort zone a little bit. And I do it inch by inch. And so I understand that. But when they're in,
have you tried like during the week, like not,
when I haven't ever brought it up.
I think that might be helpful. Like, because I think it's a really good opportunity to possibly pastor someone, right? Because it might be, they might just say, like, you know what? Like, I'm just going through this with my kids or my marriage, or like, man, just my work has just been insane, or, you know, whatever. Like, you know, we just had a sit down with someone, you know, it's not going so well. And we said, hey, what's going on? Well, it's like, well, you know, I'm battling this thing, my wife battling this health thing, and my kid is doing this, and my
sister-in-law is doing this. I was in half.
And I'm like, and I lost 50% of my wages at work. I'm like, dude, we need to anoint you with oil. Like, let's anoint you with oil, you know? And just that moment to pastor them, they were like, thank you so much. Like, that changed everything, you know? And that was the old thing we had to take care of, but it was
literally like a drop in the bucket compared to what they brought.
Fed by all of this, you know? And so, like, I think it's a good opportunity to possibly really pastor someone, but also just to kind of, like, say, you know, if they're just, like, kind of, you know, a cutthroat, you know, like, doesn't communicate a lot, dry kind of a person, then you can kind of clear the air and be like, you know, if you probably realize, like, I'm super, like, open like this and very, you know, whatever. And so I just don't want to always feel like I'm pushing you and like maybe there's something between us. Oh no, I'm just kind of, I'm this way. Oh, okay, well, you know, good to know.
But it also would help for them to kind of communicate a little bit.
But you'll also know, yeah, you'll also know, like, okay, that's probably not somebody that I'm going to, like, build with, because they come off a little sharp and edgy. And if you're feeling that way, probably if they have a team that they're leading, probably the rest of the team is probably feeling the same way, you know? So, like, yeah, you just got to use a little bit of discernment there. But I am always a proponent for just get that out in the open, clear it up, like have a meeting, talk about it, and as quick as you can. Don't.
I mean, if they're willing to change some of that, if it's just who they are, and you can kind of open their eyes to, okay, this comes across really differently just from being on the outside of and looking in, you know, you could kind of give them an example. You know, this can come off cold and uninviting to people that are coming in, dropping off their kids or whatever. So, you know, is there a way I can help you with that? You know, anything, you know, just get creative with the conversation. But also, like, if they're open, I would say empower them to change, you know, get them some tools. I could talk about more if you need tools, but yeah, I think, but that's, there's no way of not talking.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause there's a couple of people on a couple of my teams that are very like
stoic.
Yeah. And I'm like,
you really, he's probably still trying to get to know you too.
Yeah. And sometimes I feel too, when this comes with people buying in, like,
yeah,
when they want to do something and we kind of slow them down a bit or put the kibosh on certain things, they get very offended. And it's not that we're trying to be mean. It's just that at that moment, it wasn't a good fit. And so when you try to explain that to them, they still take offense, and you can, like, and you know, they're saying things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think if you have that going on, you have to,
yeah,
if they remain offended, then
yeah,
like, they can keep serving, but they can't lean. Mm-hmm. You can't. Leadership is an affirmation towards leadership, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, if they can't affirm leadership, then they can't lead.
Mm, yeah.
That's just it. It violates our core values of being open to change,
yeah,
and excellence, and
yeah,
people so, first.
Yeah, people first. It's a clear violation. So if there's an offense and they won't resolve it, then...
Well, I'm not necessarily talking about main leader. I'm talking about, like, people that are, like, for instance, Melody, mm-hmm, Master.
Yeah.
She was kind of upset because we didn't allow Greg to build the crib. And so she took offense to that, and she's still...
Yes.
Yeah.
Offended.
Yeah. In this vein, I know we don't have time to talk about this, but if we can talk about this in the future... we've been talking about open the change. Well, yeah, this Sunday, like, this is, I mean, this is ongoing, but it's been a while since my team has opened up about stuff. They have so many ideas, but I'm like, a lot of them, like, we're not going to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sounds really bad, but it's because, and so I'm like trying to figure out, like, we're saying we want to be open to feedback. And then I had literally had people in my small group, like, yeah, it feels like though we give feedback and then you guys have already made up your mind.
Mm-hmm.
And they were just talking about the whole church in general. It was kind of charged. I was like,
yeah, we get a lot of that too.
But you just got
the feedback, right? Not before, right?
What was that?
Were you just now getting the feedback, or is it from before?
No, this is, so we just talked about this month. We did this month's video.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we did, honestly, it did not go with the questions, but people have feelings they needed to get out.
Mm-hmm.
So I was trying to direct it. It was really interesting. But anyway, what came out was, like, a lot of my teams that my team members that are invested have lots of ideas.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm trying to, like, not make them feel discouraged, because I actually do want them to have ideas. I love that they're passionate. Mm-hmm. For instance, Mike and Lila, they've got experience with kids ministry in another church. So, like, they want to bring ideas from the other church. Yeah. But it's like, we're a different church. And I have taken some of their ideas to do them. But anyway, how do I keep them from being discouraged, like, when they feel like I'm not doing it?
Mm.
and I'm trying to like take the feedback and put it into motion. But sometimes like some of it I can't do right now. I'm literally at capacity.
Yeah. Okay. I think I would just communicate like, hey, you guys have so many ideas. This is awesome.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be able to get to every single one of them.
Yeah.
But, you know, we're going to hand pick some of these ideas that I feel like really fit for this season.
Yeah.
And
I was like, we're going through services. I can't do any of this right now.
Yeah.
I think that like, communication's good.
Yeah, I think the more we talk about feedback too with our teams, the more they'll get it. But like feedback is not entitlement.
Okay.
So like, you know, and people always feel that way. And and I think over time we'll build a culture that understands that. But when you first open it up, it's just like
the three old lot there.
Everyone,
but that's good.
There was it was good, but it was like a lot like the conversation I had to redirect it, but it was a little like, it felt, I was like, okay, help me not. I know I'm like, help me not to feel like the wolves are coming after me right now.
Yeah.
Like,
and I think it's good to, I think it's good if you have a lot of feedback to say, hey guys, we're short on time. So use the form online and give me all the feedback that you want.
I said, I can't remember. I actually was like, I just really can't remember everything. So like write out the feedback form. I just kept trying to redirect it back to a question because it wasn't even on, like it's, we're talking about change in feedback, but we weren't like talking about like at that moment, give me feedback, you know? So I think it went okay.
The only thing I'd say with feedback, maybe I've mentioned this before, but I actually have an Excel sheet that I put in any feedback that I get. And some of it's ridiculous. and I write down who gave it. But I do always respond to feedback, whether it's valuable or not valuable. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes, like, we've had, ridiculous feedback, like fool's feedback biblically. I'm like, I'm not going to respond to a fool and try to argue with a fool. You know, that's not
like,
God says, just don't.
Yes.
And I don't respond to feedback that's offensive or abusive or sarcastic.
Yeah.
Things like that. I think that you don't need to respond to, but anything that's done respectfully, even if it is constructive, I always respond because by email or I'll respond by email, and I've responded to some feedback in regards to like way back we had some feedback on like worship stuff and and I would always say, hey, I appreciate the feedback. We do have, I am trying to just say this without saying this, but I would just basically explain the process in place that we go through to come to the decision that we've made.
Right.
And usually that clears up a lot of confusion.
Instead of being like, no.
Offense,
Yeah.
So I'm not saying no, I'm just saying, hey guys, thank you, appreciate it, but we are working on it. This is kind of what's in place, that we're taking care of that. Yeah.
Okay.
So always respond, unless it's one of those things that I mentioned.